The 1970s was a time when Miles Davis's music became heavily amplified and loud. Columbia Records has disgorged five new 2-CD sets of live Davis music from that period. Jazz critic Kevin Whitehead says the early 70s is probably still Davis's most controversial period. Kevin says he likes the recordings, mostly.
Miles Davis with Jack DeJohnette on drums at New York's Fillmore East, 1970. One reason this music sounded radical then was its rethinking of how much time you needed to make a point. In the 40s and 50s, Miles was making records 3 or 4 minutes long. In the 70s, the music might continue for the whole side of an LP, and even those 20-minute swatches of sound might seem abbreviated, for one thing because the obvious splices and crossfades made you aware something was being edited out. They gave you the idea the music continued even after the record was over. In the 1970s, Miles Davis was often accused of selling out. He made no bones about pursuing a bigger, hipper, and blacker audience. Yet the several double LPs he made then were so long and intimidating, some of them never came out in the States until now. One of those is Black Beauty, recorded at San Francisco's Fillmore West in 1970. The funk bass lines and long meandering solos were familiar enough to audiences at that rock palace. And you could tell Miles liked James Brown and Sly and the Family Stone even before he said so. His players also had a dense polyrhythmic approach inspired by West African music, but very much their own. I remember being at one of Miles' Fillmore East gigs and thinking, whoa. One hero of these 1970 recordings is electric pianist Chick Corea, who had the perfect raunchy timbre and punchy timing for this stuff. He uses a lot of wah-wah pedal, that new toy for guitarists. A couple of years later, almost everyone in the band has one, including the trumpet player. Miles said he wanted to sound like an electric guitar, and you can hear that in his staccato attack, like a guitarist digging in with a flat pick. He also said he liked it when people couldn't tell who was playing what. Miles Davis with guitarists Pete Cozy, Reggie Lucas, and Dominique Gaumont. That's from Dark Magus, recorded at Carnegie Hall in 1974, and only now being released in North America. One thing these CDs confirm is the influence on many levels of that great 20th century musician Jimi Hendrix. They echo his heavily vocalized use of guitar and guitar gizmos, and his congenial, chugling rhythm, and his highly stylized take on the blues. Fair to say that Hendrix hit some music of the 70s, as hard as Charlie Parker hit jazz when Miles was young. One aspect of these records creating their own open-ended sense of time is few things happen fast. As with the live double albums rock bands made in the 70s, there are times when you wish they'd just get on with it. When it came to being funky, James Brown was more intense, and Sly Stone had slicker grooves, and West Africans still had the edge when it came to polyrhythm. But when a band is grabbing for so much, you can't expect it all to go smooth. All that said, coming back to these period pieces now, it's good to hear they wear as well as they do.
Kevin Whitehead is currently living in Amsterdam. He reviewed Columbia Records' release of live Miles Davis recordings from the 70s.